Hello, this is Chris Adding, and I'm the host of the VA Form 21 podcast. Today, we are going to ask the question, for whom does the bell toll? Well, if you are the presumption of VA medical examiner competence, then I got some bad news for you. It tolls for thee, buddy. It tolls for thee. Before we get to that, let's get a little business out of the way. The VA Form 21 podcast is a production of the law firm of Adding Steele. Adding Steele provides caring, effective, and efficient representation to veterans battling the VA for benefits before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. You can learn more about me, and you can learn more about the law firm of Adding Steele on our website at addingsteele.com. The VA Form 21 podcast is going to provide several different types of episodes. So, in episodes 1 through 6, we hosted recordings of oral arguments and appeals before the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. And beginning with episode 4, I provided you a synopsis of the case, including the positions of the parties and a preview of the law to help prepare you for the arguments you were about to hear. In other episodes, like this one, I'm going to share with you some practical advocacy skills, trying to help you to become a better advocate for your veteran clients. And in future episodes, we are going to talk about the business of veterans law. If your law firm business isn't profitable, you will not be able to help veterans. I've learned some really hard lessons about how to make a smaller solo firm profitable in the veterans law practice area, and I'm going to share what I've learned with you. If you've got suggestions about topics that you would like to hear on this podcast, please feel free to shoot me an email at vetlaw@addingsteele.com. If you are getting value from this podcast or just want to support its continued availability, please click the links in the show notes and become a sponsor of the VA Form 21 podcast over at patreon.com/VAForm21. That link is in the show notes and over on the VA Form 21 blog. As a rookie level sponsor, I'm going to give you some sponsor-only episodes of the podcast once a month. And I'm going to start sending you out copies of forms and templates that I use in my veterans law practice each and every day. Let's move into today's episode. And in today's episode, I'm going to teach you how to become a little bit better advocate by challenging the competency of VA medical examiners, or at the very least, rebutting the presumption of competence in your client's BVA appeals. Let's start from here. VA claims and appeals invariably require a medical opinion to prove the relationship of a functional impairment or a disability to military service. Sometimes, that's going to mean a VA medical expert will have to testify that a particular disability or a particular functional impairment is at least as likely as not related to military service. Other times, it could mean that a VA medical expert will need to testify that a particular post-service functional impairment is at least as likely as not analogous to symptoms, diagnoses, or events that occurred in service. And in other situations, a medical expert might need to offer testimony as to whether one medical condition caused or aggravated another. Now, if you were an attorney representing somebody in federal district court, you just need to prove up the competence of your expert witness that you want to use to establish a material fact, and you are good to go. The principle is so basic in federal courts that Federal Rule of Evidence 702 lays out exactly what the party offering a medical expert must prove. They've got to prove that the VA medical expert, or any medical expert in that case, has specialized knowledge that will help the judge understand and decide the case, or a jury if it's a jury trial. They've got to be able to show that the expert's opinion is based on sufficient facts or data. They've got to show that that opinion uses reliable principles and methods. And then they've got to show that the expert has reliably applied those principles and methods to the facts of the case. So those last three principles are very similar to those that the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims noted that it was going to consider when determining whether a VA medical opinion is adequate. If you look at the Nieves-Rodriguez case, a 2008 case, the site is in your show notes. A medical examination report must contain not only clear conclusions with supporting data, but also a reasoned medical explanation connecting the two. If you line that holding up right next to Federal Rule of Evidence 702, you're going to see an almost verbatim match of B, C, and D, elements B, C, and D, to the holding in Nieves-Rodriguez. The critical difference in the basis for this entire episode is that the Nieves-Rodriguez test and the Federal Rules of Evidence test do not have a element in common, and that is the fact that expert competence needs to be proved. The medical expert's specialized knowledge and his ability to help the judge understand and decide the case needs to be proved up in federal court. And frankly, if you're representing a veteran and you put in a private or an independent medical exam, you're going to have to establish that element every single time for your private medical exams as well. The VA, on the other hand, does not have to make that proof. Why not? Because the VA medical examiner's competence is presumed. So let's wind back the clock to 2009, and we've got this case called Rizzo. There's actually a couple other cases that play into Rizzo. There's some ones that followed off it, and there's some ones kind of on the periphery. But Rizzo is generally thought to be the lead case in this area. And the Federal Circuit in that case endorsed a perspective that a medical expert appointed by the VA is presumed competent. The Fed Circuit got to that conclusion by using the presumption of regularity. They presumed that the VA's regular process is to appoint only experts who are competent to render an opinion on the facts of the issue. Because that presumption operates to presume that a thing which appears regular is regular, the Federal Circuit reasoned that it could be used to presume that the VA's appointment of competent examiners was the regular process, and therefore the appointment itself of the examiner was competent, or the appointment of a competent examiner was presumed. Let's take a little sidebar here, because this presumption is a one-way street, and I've got a problem with this. If you submit your own private medical expert opinion, the BVA is first, they're going to presume the competence of the VA's expert, and then they're going to look for any minuscule irregularity to determine or undermine the competence of your expert. That's the non-adversarial process at work, folks. Listen, what makes the American judicial system great is the fact that it is an adversarial search for the truth. In fact, that judicial system, the one that our veteran clients served and many times fought and bled to preserve, is premised on that adversarial search. Its eradication, its elimination in the VA claim or appeal process invariably subordinates the search for truth to the VA's desire to more easily deny claims and appeals. End of my sidebar for now. We'll come back and hit that one again. That's one of the biggest bones of contention I have with this entire process, is this fiction that's worked its way into the law, that this is somehow a non-adversarial process. Well, we'll talk about that in more depth someday later. Let's get back to the presumption of VA medical examiner's competence. Because it's a presumption, veterans can rebut it. Likewise, veterans can always argue that the presumption does not attach in the first place if the record itself shows an irregularity in the VA's process of selecting an expert. Now, that doesn't mean the irregularity is going to come from the title of the VA expert, because we all know that the VA routinely uses nurses, administrative employees, physicians, assistants, and from time to time, every once in a while, you're going to find a doctor who got their medical training at Hogwarts who kind of sneaks into the file to decide a critical medical issue. Little tongue-in-cheek, little humor there for you. These appointments are going to be presumed competent every time because, under Rizzo, the process is presumed to be regular, and therefore the result is presumed to have a regularly competent doctor deciding the issue. So, as a result, though, a lot of times, the opinion itself is presumed competent. And if you're scratching your head there, you're in good company. Listen, as noted above, even if the VA medical expert is presumed competent, his opinion can still nevertheless be inadequate under Nieves-Rodriguez. This is one of those fictions in VA law that I talk a lot about, this rule that a VA medical expert competence to render an opinion being presumed has transmogrified over time into this misconception that the opinion itself is competent evidence. Those two questions, the question of the VA medical expert's competence to render an opinion and the competence of the expert's opinion as material and relevant evidence, are in fact two totally separate legal inquiries. Returning to the critical point, though, a clear challenge to the VA medical expert's competence is going to prevent it from attaching. But because the appointment of the individual is presumed regular and competent, you're going to need something more than, as I said earlier, just the name or title of the individual to show that the appointment of a particular expert is irregular. Now, that scenario has, to the best of my ability to research, played out only once in a presidential decision of the Veterans Court. The presumption of competence in this particular case did not attach when the medical professional herself admitted in her own opinion that she lacked the expertise necessary to provide the opinion requested by the board. That's the Wise v. Shinseki case from 2014. The site is in your show notes. Now, having said that that's only showed up in one precedential opinion, the Veterans Court has remanded far more cases to the board for consideration of competence of VA medical expert when the record demonstrates a clear challenge that the examiner is not qualified to opine on a medical matter because of his or her experience or expertise. It's in that way, it's in that last little bit there that we can eliminate as a practical matter the presumption that VA medical opinions are competent. We don't need to overrule Rizzo, although that sure will be nice someday. And I tell you, that day is coming, and I'm going to tell you why I say that in just a minute. But let's talk about how we can eradicate this presumption as a practical matter. It's simple. Challenge the VA medical examiner's competence every single time. How do you do this? By providing facts or arguments that challenge the expert's competence to render the opinion, and facts and arguments to challenge the opinion itself, you either rebut the presumption of competence or the presumption doesn't attach in the first place. Either way, whichever way the court goes on this, whichever way the board goes, you just require the BVA to address the issue of the VA medical examiner's competence in its decision. Now, for examples of the different types of facts and arguments that you might want to raise to rebut the presumption of competence, look to Federal Rules of Evidence 702. But let me be clear as we're doing this. Challenging the presumption of competence of a VA expert rebuts only the presumption of competence. It does not necessarily yield a finding that the BVA must find that the expert lacks competence. It does require the BVA to adjudicate and provide adequate reasons and bases to establish the VA medical expert's competence. So to adjudicate and to do that, to provide those adequate reasons and bases of the VA medical expert's competence, there has to be evidence of that competence in the record. And once you get evidence of the expert's competence in the record, you're able to make specific evidence-based challenges to the competency of the VA medical examiner and his or her opinion. Do you see how that worked? By challenging the competence of a VA medical examiner in every NOD and every VA Form 9, you automatically rebut the presumption of competence and you set yourself up to do what attorneys do best, make evidence-based arguments why a VA medical expert is not competent as an expert to opine on a particular issue. It all starts with that request, though. And so I strongly encourage you to consider adding your NOD and your VA Form 9 templates, adding into those templates a challenge to the VA medical expert's competence and a request for a copy of the evidence used to demonstrate the competency of the expert. I cannot stress that enough. Every single time, without fail, your advocacy and your client's odds of winning are greatly enhanced if your firm submits with every notice of disagreement and every VA Form 9 a challenge to the competency of the VA medical expert. VA's medical expert. Getting a little tongue-tied here saying that too many times. In fact, if we have a copy of the actual opinion, we're going to make our challenge really specific. We're going to use bullet points in the template that we use at our firm here to guide us in making those specific arguments. I'm going to share that template with you. If you become a rookie-level sponsor of this podcast, you'll get it for free. You'll get a couple other templates for free out of the gate. I'm going to keep adding new ones, as well as those monthly episodes in basic veterans law. But you can hop over to Patreon, become a sponsor, and learn all about that. And get a copy of our template for challenging VA medical examiner competence. So, I mentioned earlier that we can get rid of it as a practical matter, this presumption of competence, by challenging it, making arguments that it shouldn't attach, and asking for copies of the evidence of the VA medical examiner's competence. There's probably a great likelihood that the days of this presumption are numbered anyway. Okay? And that's one of the huge advantages to being sure to challenge the VA medical expert's competence in every single NOD in VA Form 9 is that it helps appellate firms like mine challenge the presumption in court. I want to take you to a case, a Supreme Court petition for writ of certiorari, in which the Supreme Court denied writ for the veteran. And in a very, very rare turn of events, two judges with very different judicial philosophies wrote very critically of the VA's presumption while at the same time rejecting cert. They praised judges at the Federal Circuit who were taking a long and hard look at wiping this presumption off the books, Justice Gorsuch and Justice Sotomayor. The case involved, it was the Mathis case, and it involved a challenge to the presumption of competence. In that case, the veteran, well, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about the uniqueness of that case. I've actually put up on the VA Form 21 blog and also in the show notes the quotes from Justice Gorsuch and the quote from Justice Sotomayor. And I want to read you just a little bit of one of them, where Justice Gorsuch talks about this presumption of competence. He says, where does this presumption come from? If you listen to any oral arguments, you're going to know that that's probably a pretty likely question in most cases where Justice Gorsuch asks a question at oral arguments. But he asks the question here, where does this presumption come from? It enjoys no apparent providence in the relevant statutes. There, Congress imposed on the VA an affirmative duty to assist, not impair, veterans seeking evidence for their disability claims. And consider how the presumption works in practice, he says. The VA usually refuses to supply information that might allow a veteran to challenge the presumption without an order from the Board of Veterans' Appeals. And that board won't often issue an order unless a veteran can first supply a specific reason for thinking the examiner incompetent. No doubt this arrangement makes the VA's job easier, he said. But how is it that an administrative agency may manufacture for itself or win from the courts a regime that has no basis in the relevant statutes and does nothing to assist and much to impair the interest of those the law says the agency is supposed to serve? Those are caustic words from Justice Gorsuch. And Justice Sotomayor's are no more soft. They are also biting words and give us pause to reflect as to whether this presumption will be around for very much longer. But given the strength of those words, why didn't the Supreme Court grant cert and review the presumption itself? One simple reason. The veteran who asked the Supreme Court to review the legality of that presumption never challenged the presumption or requested evidence of the examiner's competence at the agency level. And the Supreme Court felt that it couldn't reach the full scope of the question without seeing how the board handled requests for credentials showing the examiner's competence and a challenge to the examiner's competence, which is exactly what we are encouraging you to start doing in all of your NODs and VA Form 9s. So in the end, here's three ways that you can be a better advocate for your clients at the BVA. Insert a challenge to every VA medical expert's competence in every VA Form 9 and every notice of disagreement. Without fail, there's no point in not doing that. There's no good reason to not do it. Request proof of the VA medical expert's competence in every VA Form 9 and notice of disagreement as well. Again, no reason to not do that that I'm aware of. If you know of a good reason to not do that, email me and let me know because I would like to know that. If you don't get the proof that you asked for from the VA or the BVA, or if the BVA rejects or ignores your request for proof of competence, I am more than happy to take a look at that BVA decision to see if I can either get a remand for your client at the Veterans Court or use that case to eradicate once and for all this idea, this presumption that VA medical examiners are competent to render opinions in your client's claims and appeals. Listen, I enjoyed this episode hanging out with you. I hope to see you again on another episode. If you have ideas of topics you want me to cover, shoot me an email at vetlaw@addeggsteel.com. Hop on over to the VA Form 21 blog where you can see a whole lot of other different types of posts. We talk about marketing. We talk about law. We talk about precedential court opinions from the Fed Circuit and the Veterans Court. Hop over to the podcast where we've got oral arguments and synopses introducing those oral arguments. And hop on over to our Patreon page where you can become a sponsor and get access to much more material to help you build and grow your veterans law practice. I'll see you on the next episode. Until then, take care and have a great day.